Parents, the first thing you have to do is you have to examine your priorities. What are your priorities? Who's first? You want order in your home? Then you better get order in your life first with God. God desires that of His children.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Thanks for joining us as we continue our study on the crucial job of nurturing our families in faith-filled godliness. While the world says you can do whatever is right in your own eyes, today Raul will warn us against compromise and complacency in our homes. Stay with us as Raul challenges us to follow the Bible's instructions for a healthy family with every person living out their unique God-given role. Today's lesson is titled, A Family in a Godless World. In Judges chapter 2, here's Raul Reese.
I think that we have to understand that not only are these the last days, but I am very concerned in my own personal life about what's happening around us and what's going on in the world this morning. So I want you with me to look not only at the book of Judges, but we want God to give us the answers to the questions that we may have in our own minds this morning as we face so many problems in this world. It seems like the world is out of order. At the same time, I'm not discouraged, I am encouraged because my encouragement is in the Lord. I recognize that Jesus and the disciples spoke to us about these coming days. Days that would become very evil for the church. As a matter of fact, when you study the scriptures and you come to the book of Judges, not only from beginning to end, but the conclusion of the book of Judges, it sums up the philosophy that we are even living in today. It says this, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That can actually sum up the generation that we are living in today. And that generation that came out, which we call a first generation out of Egypt, they ended up dying in the wilderness, and only those that were 20 years old and under, the second generation, were the ones to go in and inherit the promised land. At this particular time in the book of Judges, the second generation is coming to an end, and a third generation now is getting ready to take over. Listen to what the scripture says, beginning with chapter 2, verse 1. And then the angel of the Lord came from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I led you up from Egypt and I brought you to the land which I swore to your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. You have done so this. Therefore, I also said, I will not drive them out before you, for they shall become thorns into your side, and their God shall be a snare to you. You see, the failure of the people in obeying God's word brought about these people to become thorns to the sides of the people of God. The people of God had an incomplete obedience before God, not a full, complete obedience before God. God wanted them to go in and take the land, and little by little He would drive out their enemies away from them. But the people of God actually became settled in the land. They allowed a little leaven, and the leaven was totally leavened completely. And then he says this in verse 5. And then they call the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there to the Lord. And when Joshua had dismissed the people, the children of Israel went each one to his own inheritance to possess the land. And so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now, in Exodus chapter 10, verse 2, God had told Moses to continue constantly to make a reminder to the parents, to constantly the parents reminding the children and their children and their children's children about the greatness of what God had done for the people of God. It was actually to be passed on from generation to generation to generation to generation. Now we're coming to the end of the second generation, and a third generation now is about to be introduced. Verse 7. And so the people served the Lord. Verse 8. And now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him with the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gash. And when all that generation, what generation? The second generation from Joshua and Caleb's generation, look what it says, had been gathered to their fathers, which means they died. Another generation, third generation now, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the works what he had done for Israel. What went wrong? Why is it that this third generation does not know the Lord? It has been said that the first generation always fights the battles. The first generation always has it tough. Learning how to fight, learning how to defend. The second generation comes along and they claim the spoils and they enjoy what their parents fought so hard for. But then comes their children, the third generation. And they totally sell out to the enemy. They have no defense. They have nothing to keep them. But they totally give in to the world's system. And they become totally part of that world. How does this happen to such a generation? Or how does this happen to any generation? Let me give you the answer. It's very simple. It comes about when the parents are not taking the responsibility in following God's instructions from the past and putting them to work in the present state of their children. The failure was with the parents. They didn't teach their children. That's what I see today. And it seems that the generation that is living today among the young people are young people that are not obeying their parents or anyone else in society. They really haven't been taught. And let me say to you that if you're a parent and you have failed as a parent, it's not too late. It's never too late with God. That's what's so beautiful about the grace of God. It's never too late with God. Here at the conclusion of the book of Joshua, is Joshua now is getting ready to die. As a godly leader and a strong leader, one that was led by God's Holy Spirit and led by the Word of God, and made every decision upon the basis of prayer and the word. He gathers the nation together with his family and begins to challenge the people. What will they do when Joshua dies in following to know the Lord? Listen to what he says, beginning with verse 14. "And now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river in Egypt and serve the Lord." Notice what God wants from his people. He wants you to serve the Lord in truth. We cannot serve God if we continue to live a life of sin in worshiping other gods. It's an impossibility. It's contradictory to the Word of God. Parents, the first thing you have to do is you have to examine your priorities. What are your priorities? Who's first? You want order in your home? Then you better get order in your life first with God. God desires that of his children. The second thing that I see here is Joshua is reading up and talking here. He says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then look at, make a choice." But don't confuse your children. Make a choice. He says this, verse 15. He says, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, they were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell now. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You see, Joshua made the example. Now, I don't care what you do, but I know what I am doing. Every one of us has to come to a place where we have to make a choice. You cannot straddle the fence. Fathers, you cannot straddle the fence. Mothers, you cannot straddle the fence. If your children see you divided, then how can there be unity in the home? When they see you growing apart instead of growing towards the Lord. There are responsibilities that God has given to the parents and to the children.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com to explore our full range of family-centered, Bible-rich resources. You can also join Raul for Straight Talk every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific on the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel. Let's continue now with more of our study, A Family in a Godless World.
And then the people answer, verse 16. And this is what they said. "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went among all the people, donors through whom we passed." You notice that the second generation was taught and instructed by the parents, but because they had everything, they were actually, in a way, kind of departing from the faith. They didn't have a full commitment. Look what he says also in verse 18. "And then the Lord drove out from us all the people, even the Amorites who dwell in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." And then Joshua said to the people, "Look, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God." He gives the qualifications. "He is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and you serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm, and he will consume you after he has," notice, "blessed you or done good to you." He warns them. Now look, make sure you know what you're saying, because if you decide to serve the Lord and then you turn away from the Lord, man, God is going to judge you. How we need to take counsel from the Word of God. We need to know who we're going to serve. And then verse 23, now therefore, he said, put away all the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God, we will serve and his voice we will obey. And so Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them statutes and ordinances in Shechem. And then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took the large stone and he set it up underneath the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord as a witness. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this piece of rock shall be a witness to us, for it has heard your words and everything you said concerning the Lord as he spoke to us. And it shall be therefore as a witness to you, lest you deny the Lord your God. And the people said, man, amen. They said, we will do whatever God says. Let me begin this morning by talking to you fathers. You fathers that are here. And yet, let's say that you are a father that has really blown it. Let me tell you something, you still have hope in God. I don't want you leaving here this morning condemned and beat up and say, man, I blew it, now God can forgive me. No, yes, God can forgive you. The problem will be if you listen but you don't do what the God's word says. Then you'll be in trouble. The first thing that I see here in Joshua, in speaking in the commitment of a father and a mother to God before their children, is that the husband, first of all, has to be the head of his home. Man, you gotta be the head. You gotta take charge of your home. Not by lording over your home or ruling your home with a rod of iron. But listen to what the Bible says, how a husband is to become the head of his home. In Ephesians 5:23, he says, for the husband is the head of the wife, also as Christ is the head of the church and he is the Savior of the body. Who's my example? Who's your example? Jesus Christ. How did he rule? He ruled with love. With love. Not with a rod of iron. First of all, your responsibility as a husband is to love your wife. To love your wife. Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I don't know if you understand, but remember when you stood with your wife before the minister and you were married, you said, until death do us part. To love and to hold in sickness or in health. So help me God, I do. It seems that men have become weaklings in this generation. They're not taking the leadership of their homes as husbands are not loving their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It seems like husbands, instead of loving, are abusing verbally and physically their wives. God didn't give you a punching bag. He gave you a partner, one that would work by your side. And what's happened is that men have become weaklings when it comes to being the heads of their homes and loving their wives. And the reason that many of you men do not love your wives is because you have your eyes somewhere else, or you don't know how to die to yourself first. That is a problem. Because we men are very selfish. God wants you to give time to your wife. God wants you to spend time with your wife. Why? Because the Bible says that your wife is the weaker vessel. She's not the strong tower. She's the weaker vessel. And the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, that you are to dwell with your wife with understanding, which means you need to seek the Lord to give you understanding for your wife. So when your wife is moody or she's going through things, you'll be able to know how to minister to her needs. That's what the Bible teaches. Another thing that wives want from their husbands is they want the husband to be the provider of the home. I know that today we're living in a time when people have to work, most people have to work, husband and wife, to make provision for the home. But from the beginning of time, the husband was always chosen to be the single provider for the home. And if you are a wife and you don't have to work and you can stay home with your children, please stay home and take care of your children. Don't be a career woman and ruin your children. There's going to be enough time for you to be a career woman when your children grow up. Right now, your children need you. God declares in His Word that you husbands are to be the providers of the home. In 1 Timothy 5:8, He says this, "But if any husband or if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." If you're a healthy person and you're not sick or crippled, then you should be out knocking on doors to get a job. You should not live off the state if you're healthy. The husband is to be the provider of the home. And then something else that I see about a husband. He says not only the husband is to be the head of his home, to love his wife, to be the single provider of the home, but fourthly, he's to be the spiritual leader of the home, which means what? You set the spiritual temperature in the home. You're the one that needs to pray with your wife. You're the one that needs to give devotions to your children. Taking time at the dinner table, like Moses, like Joshua, telling them of the greatness of God. As you study, as you pray, as you grow in the Lord, then you're able, as the priest of your home, to lead your wife and your children in a devotional life. You are the priest of your home.
We hope it's been helpful to be reminded of each family member's role as you unite together in following and honoring the Lord. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's study was titled, A Family in a Godless World. If you'd like to get a complete copy with much more teaching, we'll be happy to send it to you for a donation of $5 or more. Just call us at 800-634-9165. We'd also like to tell you about a new book from Raul and his late wife Sharon titled Raising a God-Fearing Family in an Ungodly World. It's a parenting resource that draws from their own personal experience in bringing up three sons. You'll find practical instruction as well as biblical inspiration to help you and your family cultivate a healthy, Christ-centered home life. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to purchase Raul's new book titled Raising a God-Fearing Family in an Ungodly World. We'll send your copy for a donation of $12 plus shipping and handling. That phone number once again is 800-634-9165. To order this book by writing us, our mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Our Somebody Loves You free resources are easy to access anytime, anywhere. Download our app for live-streamed Bible teaching and digital Bible studies, and look for podcasts of all of our radio programs on iTunes and Spotify. The Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel also provides a variety of connections to Scripture, including Straight Talk with Raul every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Your tax-deductible gifts help us keep sharing God's Word through these programs, and we are thankful for your partnership. Be sure and join us again next time for more biblical direction in establishing your family's spiritual well-being. You'll see that good things come from prioritizing time in God's Word and showing intentionality in communicating with one another. Now, back to Raul once again with a closing comment.
And then fifthly, the husband has to be understanding with his wife. You have to be patient, husbands. You see, 1 Peter 3:7 says, "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to the wife as she becomes the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Notice that your prayers would not be hindered. You see, husbands, if you're not getting along with your wife and you're not being the spiritual head of your home, then how can God answer your prayers? Your prayers are hindered. That's what the Bible teaches. God cannot answer your prayers as long as you're not loving and understanding your wife. I pray this morning that you husbands would take the leadership of your homes and that you would become the provider and the spiritual leader of your home and constantly understanding your wives as you love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.